Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. Glad to get your phone calls and emails at 866-439-5277. Emails, go to talk at LarsLarson.com. If you want my thought of the day, we send out a single text every day. Just text Lars to 68683. Gail Trotter joins me now, attorney and a senior fellow at the Independent Women's Forum. Gail, good to have you back on.
Great to be with you, Lars.
So, We have just, it just seems bizarre that we're describing it this way. A terrorist attack in Paris, France, kills more than 129 people. 100 more are in critical condition in hospitals. And, God willing, they'll all survive. But many of them are terribly wounded. We have ISIS that's making a direct threat against the United States. And the president says, well, our strategy is working. It's just going to take some time. I have a feeling that an awful lot of Americans take the ISIS threat to strike an American city, maybe Washington, D.C., a bit more seriously than they're taking the president's reassurance that everything is going to be just fine. What do you think is going to happen now that ISIS has issued a direct threat against D.C.? Man, how's that going to work out in terms of the choices by D.C. residents to maybe go out and avail themselves of the new, the new availability of both firearms and concealed carry permits?
That's right. You know, D.C. as a city is notoriously anti-Second Amendment, and their ability of citizens in D.C. to protect themselves, to choose to be able to defend themselves, has been severely hampered by the D.C. City Council, because D.C. is not part of a state. So we have the City Council, which promulgates laws, and then Congress basically oversees the district. And because of the Supreme Court decision, individuals in D.C. had the right to have firearms to defend themselves, and a lot of the ridiculous restrictive laws were overruled. And then there was a law that allowed D.C. residents to apply for concealed carry permits. And under that law, they said that D.C. Council required that the citizens prove that they had a good reason to fear for their safety. And saying that you lived in a bad neighborhood or something to that effect was not a good enough reason. Then a court overruled that, but then it was stay was put on that. So now we're in this in-between area where there is still a requirement that D.C. residents show that they have a good reason. Well, I would argue that the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria announcing their intention to strike America at its center in Washington, which is what their video released, they said that there could be no better reason for D.C. citizens, and not only citizens, but we have many people who commute from the suburbs of Maryland and Virginia, and also lots of tourists who come to D.C. We want to prevent a Paris-style attack that ISIS has shown not only that they want to accomplish in Washington, D.C., but they are able to do that, as demonstrated, like you put so poignantly. You know, 129 people were killed in Paris. We have 350 people who were wounded in Paris. And unfortunately, Lars, as you know, terrorists can pick the time and manner and place of their attacks. So I don't know if you know this or not, but after the Charlie Hebdo massacre in January, France decided to put 10,000 soldiers in Paris to try and limit the terrorist activity. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that didn't prevent what happened this weekend. And now Paris has tried to put in 1,500 more force to protect the city. But you think of a city that's 40 square miles in area, and you have 2.5 million people in Paris. That's not going to do the trick. That's just a trivial number. But if you had an armed citizenry, especially with concealed carry available to them, then any terrorist would not know. You know, the terrorists either pick a place that's a soft target, it doesn't have any security, or they decide to wait until the security leaves, or they kill the police officers or soldiers first. But if they do that in a place where the citizens are armed, then they don't know who is going to be available to stop them next.
That's always been the theory for the United States, that is that concealed carry works because the bad guy doesn't know who the good guys are. And, you know, I don't want to be insensitive, But the first guy shot by the Charlie Hebdo attackers was the policeman who'd been stationed out front of the front door of the newspaper or the magazine because he was in uniform. And they walked right up and dispatched him before they went upstairs, you know, to slaughter people in the magazine. Why? Because he was identifiable as the one person who was capable of resisting them. And I think that puts people on notice. You can have all the uniform security you want in a place, but two things are possible. One, there won't be one near enough to where the attack happens. And two, they will be identifiable by the bad guys unless they're unless they're in plain clothes.
That's right. And think of that very haunting story of the Charlie Hebdo massacre. A part that really caught my attention was the terrorists had a young mother who had her daughter, and they got her to give them access to the magazine's offices.
Yep.
What if that young mother had been armed and she had been able to stop the terrorists or at least wound them at that point, and then they were not able to go on? But, you know, that mother in Paris did not have the option to carry conceal. Not everyone's going to want to do that. But if the citizenry had the option to do that, then the terrorists would have to put that into their calculation as well when they're planning these horrific attacks.
Yeah, they would. And yet, is the D.C. City Council going to go along with that? And do you think there will be a hue and cry? Do you think people who live in the district will look at this as this is a real threat to your life? A terrorist group has promised to target your hometown, and your city council is telling you you're not allowed to protect yourself. We're going to do everything we can to make sure you're disarmed.
We have 60,000 residents of D.C., and as I said, we have many people who come in from the suburbs. Many of them are retired military, former police officers, people who have extensive training with firearms. And yet the regulations that we have on the books right now require so much training that is redundant of what people probably already have. And even just since that court decision I was talking about, when they removed the good purpose, the good reason for wanting defense, there have only been 200 people out of 600,000 who have applied for the concealed carry permits, and only 21% of those who applied had it approved.
40
so
people.
You only have
40
yes.
people out of 60,000 residents.
Out of 60,000.
And I would assume that a great many people who live in Virginia, not Maryland now, but Virginia still has decent concealed carry laws, don't they? All of those people
yes.
are effectively forced before you go to work or before you go into the district, you have to disarm. Because if you cross that border with a pistol, you're going to find yourself in huge trouble without a DC permit.
Or even ammunition. You wouldn't even have to have a firearm. People have been caught with ammunition and prosecuted for that. But there are people who live in the D.C., who are citizens, residents of D.C., who have non-resident concealed carry permits already in Virginia, and yet they go across the Potomac River into Virginia, and they can choose to defend themselves. But like you're saying, when they come back into the city, they give up that fundamental right.
Well, and when people say, but D.C. has all these police, park police, city police, federal police, you know, this, that, and the other thing, you could say the same thing about Paris, as you said, 10,000 troops on the streets, all kinds of police and protective. And by the way, you know, if you check, most of the Paris policemen, other than the, there's one level that does not routinely carry, but the rest of the French police do carry guns. But even with all that protection, that city was attacked by this terrorist group on Friday night. Gail, thank you so much. I appreciate the time.
Great to be with you, Lars.
Gail Trotter from the Independent Women's Forum.